Get going. Come on in, and we can get going. Let's see. Michael, would you like to open us up in a word of prayer? Amen, amen. If you could open up to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1. And we'll be in verse 7. And the Bible says, in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." And as I was thinking of this passage, I just, God gave me, it says, our problem is we suffer a lot from being anxious, from anxiety, from fear a lot, that we shouldn't have. But anxiety and fear, I'm going to give you some statistics here, affecting roughly 1 in 5 adults, approximately 40 million people in the United States alone, over 359 million people globally. That's according to the WHO. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental disorders, affecting 4.4% of the global population. Around 72 million affected globally are children and teens. Fear and anxiety can manifest with specific disorders affecting differing numbers of adults annually. You have your specific phobias that they diagnose you with. You have just the social anxieties that you get diagnosed with, general anxiety at 6.8 million, panic disorders at 6 million, PTSD at 7.7 million. You have OCD at 2.5. And yeah, I put OCD in there because it really is. OCD is an anxiety or fear that you work with. My brother has that, and he's always wearing gloves, making sure everything's clean. And why? Because you got this fear that you're going to perhaps catch something that you don't want. But I think it's very relevant for today, and I wanted to do a little study on that, because ever since COVID happened, it's just been getting worse. Any new little flu, cold, anything, people get very anxious, very fearful, and have no idea what they want to do or can do. But God has not given us that fear, right? He's given us the sound mind. He's given all this stuff. So the first thing I want to look at is forsake fear. You need to forsake fear. Fear and anxiety are not from God. They're not. We tend to have it anyways as Christians. And it's not all bad. Fear is not all bad. Anxiety is not all bad. But when we let them just get a hold of us and we can't let go of it, then that's where the problems come. Just a little bit of anxiety can cause you to start fearing more, start getting you to isolate. And the only one that wants you isolated is the devil. He's the only one. But both of these must be rejected through our faith. That's the only way. We have to go through faith to get this. His power, not our own. And that's the problem. We try to do it on our own. If I just avoid this certain circumstance, if I avoid this and avoid that, and there are some things you should avoid. The Bible is clear on that. But when we start to apply that to our lives and just say, hey, well, I got to avoid this, I have to do that, then nobody would get witnessed to. Nobody would be saved. So there are some, but mostly it's not. We have to do this through His power, not by ours. His power is what gives us the soundness of mind. That's what it gives us. If you could turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. And it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. So we're told not to fear not. Why? Because He's going to hold us up. Who's the right hand of God? It's Jesus Christ. He's there to help you, to give you the strength when you need it. You know, and it's easy. Like I said, it's easy to get caught up in fear and anxiety. You know, and that's probably why God hit me with this. Who knows how many people are dealing with this? It started with me, you know. I mean, telling Brother Wall, nobody tells you when you start hitting your 50s, you can't do stuff like you used to. But you're still gonna. If you're a guy, you're still gonna try. you know, and getting injured and not being able to do things, and that it brings an anxiety to me. It brings a fear to me. You know, it rightfully so, you know. And you say, how might that be? Well, I kind of get afraid because if I can't move the way I am, how am I going to teach my boys the things that I want to teach them? How am I going to grab a 2-ton jack, throw it under a car, lift it up, put the stuff in there, and show them how to do an oil change? So we let this fear come in, and that's what I did. You let it in, and it takes away from everything, because now you're worried. Now you're anxious. Now you're worried about, well, who's going to teach them? What am I going to do? Where am I going to get this from? Who's going to step up? You know, and it gets frustrating. You know, a lot of stuff, being not be able to move and things like that as well. I got to kind of just tell Jack how to do things. Tell him what he can do. Like, hey, you know, no, you got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. And that's really frustrating because he's a hands-on kid. He needs, you know, so it helps him learn a little bit better, but he needs it hands-on. And when you can't describe it, when I can't show him how to actually do it, it causes a problem. You know, but anybody can have this anxiety, this fear. You know, Michael, moving. I mean, he's got to have a little bit of anxiety about it. It's new. But God says, hey, I'll give you my strength. Just relax. Right? Take time. Be still and know I am God. If you turn over to Joshua 1. Oh. Joshua 1 and verse 9. And the Bible says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He's going to be with you no matter where you go. Whether you're here, whether you're somewhere else, whether you're in the hospital. You know, there's so many good testimonies coming from hospitals with people going in there and going, you know, I didn't know. I was scared. I was afraid. But I got this opportunity. And you got the opportunity because God put you in that situation. So if He puts us in these situations, the fear and the anxiety, it's normal to have a little, but we got to get our mind straight, get it back onto God where we should be, and try to go, what is this opportunity you're trying to show me? Or is it not even an opportunity? Is it because you're just trying to show me something? Over at Psalm 27. Psalm 27. In verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Right? And we read this passage, and it's hard to not think about Romans 8:1 when you think that. You know, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And there's where our problem is. We let the anxiety, we let the fear, and we always say, okay, we're going to cast our care upon him. We're going to do it this way. We're going to do it this way. We're going to do it exactly how God says. We're going to cast our care. We're going to pray. We're going to do this. And we really don't. We just hang on to it. And we think, well, since I did this, or we go, since I did this, then he has to take it away. Has to be gone now. But the problem is, it would be gone if we could get our mind back on Jesus. So many times we hear that from Christians, right? Put your mind back on Jesus. Just put your mind back on Jesus. Put your mind back on Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. And we do, but we look at the wrong Jesus. I mean, let's be frank. I mean, we as Christians do look at the wrong Jesus at times. He died, he was on the cross, he bare all our burdens, right? He's there, he's resurrected. He's not there anymore, he's resurrected. And we forget what he paid. We don't actually put the eyes on the cross, the empty cross, like we're supposed to. We put it on Jesus as, well, I asked, it should be gone. But sometimes when you put your eyes on that empty cross, you remember what he paid for you, right? Doesn't even say that. When he's doing the Last Supper, do these in remembrance of me. Why? Because we're not going to remember all that. And we don't. And our fear and anxiety gets to us, and all we have to do is look at that empty cross and go, he's paid it. There's no condemnation to me anymore. No matter what, I'm going to heaven. There's nothing that could stop it. I'm going to heaven. Am I, you know, is my life great? Do I have pain? Is this here? Whatever your concern may be, you're going to heaven. So that anxiety and fear should be gone because, I mean, I would hope when you think of heaven that you don't get sad. I really would. I would hope it's great joy and you're like, yeah. But that's sometimes we let that fear, we let that anxiety in, and we say we're going to keep our eye on Jesus, and we're not keeping our eye on Jesus. We're keeping on the other Christian and going, well, I should be doing that, or maybe I should be doing that, which leads to more anxiety, which leads to more fear. I mean, that's what happens. We become, the more I start reading, get into it, we've really become like the Pharisees. You know, Jesus, 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 but, you know, when somebody comes up, we got to look at the other person. And just like them, why did they do that? Because they were fearful. They were fearful. They didn't want to lose power. They didn't want to lose anything. But recognize that these are lies. Anxiety and fear are lies that we have to recognize them as lies. And since they're lies, there's only one person that's a liar, or one being, and that's Satan. These are intrusive thoughts. Intrusive, coming from intruder, right? Who's the intruder? The thief, who's come to steal and destroy. we have to realize that it's not our emotions. It's what God says. And just in this world today, it's emotions. Talking about anxiety and fear, and we were talking about PTSD and some of these diagnoses that come up. And June, perfect example. June is Men's Mental Health Awareness Month, which half the people know, nobody knows. Why? Because it's overshadowed by people that are mentally ill. I mean, let's be honest, that's what it is. They're mentally ill, thinking that a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man, and they, you know, and nothing changes, and they, you know, it's insane. But think about that. Think how many people are out there struggling, and they're just pushing mental illness instead of what you should do. I always like to look at the world. I mean, not the so I can get back into it or anything like that. But I believe that's half our purpose, right? That's half of the study to show thyself approved. What is the world doing? Okay, now what's God say about that? Because if you don't do that, you're going to go do it, and then you're going to be in a spot where you're like, oh, why did I do that? Well, because I wasn't in God's word, and I didn't compare it, the world, with what God says, and now I'm in trouble. Now I'm anxious, and now I'm fear. Because we can get anxious about God. We can get anxious about our faith. We can get fearful about our faith. And it is a good thing to be fearful of the living God. But that's not how we do it. We're fearful because we're letting everything else take over our lives without ever looking at God. It's, I didn't do this. Or I haven't done this. Or why aren't I doing this? There's only so many times you can do that. There's only so many times you can play the victim. So what's the end? You got to fix your focus, right? You have to fix your focus. God has promises for every believer in this book, every believer, right? Anxiety fades when we shift our focus to Christ, when we do it the right way and we put it on the empty cross. Because the empty cross is the best thing we can look at. Why? Because it shows us, it reminds us that Jesus died for our sins. But we can look at it and see it empty and go, oh yeah, that means the tomb's empty as well. And then we can go, hey, you know, that's good stuff, man. I, you know, just thinking about that. Thinking about going to heaven. And sometimes we get anxious about that because we want him to come back sooner. Which I think that's probably a little bit good anxiety, but it does. We have to fix our focus. Instead of going, well, how many times can I witness to my family? I'm just discouraged. I don't want to deal with them anymore. And you get that anxiety, and then that fear comes, like, they're never going to get saved. They're going to be... And we rarely realize that we need to fix our focus and go, hey, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. Maybe I'm not the one that's supposed to lead them to the Lord. Right? Some plant, some water. God gives the increase. It might not be our job to get them to that place, just to plant the seed. And somebody comes along and... But all these little things add up. And they hurt you. And then you got to get your focus back on, right? As Pastor Legault would say, you know, change your stinking thinking, right? I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. But we have to learn that it's not that we can't let anxiety and fear shift to make our circumstances more important than who God sees us. Psalm 27:10. That was when, I mean, I think I was, that was when Pastor Legault was still doing RU. He gave me all that, having little problems here and there. And it's, you know, when my father and my mother forsake thee, the Lord will take thee up. The Lord's going to take you up. That's your strength. That's your focus. That's where it should be. Because the more we concentrate on our anxiety, the more we concentrate on the fear, the more it grows. The more it becomes uncontrollable. Right, that's what you see in the world. With the riots when they don't like something and all this. And, the new thing now is the world's getting in an uproar because, you know, Trump wants the automatic, your name automatically goes in for registering for the draft. And it's like, so what? Don't you realize that's law already? And it's like, that's law already. You're supposed to. When I turned 18 and I wanted to vote, I got a registration card with it. That's what I had to do. I'm sure everybody else did, right? All the guys, I'm hoping you're registered because, right, it's the law. We're supposed to obey the law. But the Lord's going to take you up. You're His. He's going to give you that strength. And it's going to come from, sometimes you're at your lowest point. It doesn't matter what you do, right? We talk about that all the time. You go up the hill, you go in the valleys. But every time you hit that bottom of the valley, He's going to be your strength. And He's going to let you know. And every time we do, right, we sit there and go, oh, yeah. Yeah, praise the Lord. But we weren't praising the Lord as we were going down. We were letting that anxiety, that fear, just feed and feed. And then we go, yeah, no, we should have known better. He does it every time, right? I mean, maybe it's just me. Maybe He doesn't like me. I don't know. But I think He has a good sense of humor. I really do. You have to. I mean, God's got to. You see, you know, right? But if you turn over to Isaiah 41, we'll go back to, back over there. Isaiah 41 and verse 13. Now it came to pass that when all the people which were with Ishmael saw Johanan, the son of Korea, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, they were, I think I have the wrong, I'm not in Isaiah, you're right. I'm in Jeremiah, thank you. Went right by it. It sounded good. Praise the Lord, I'm glad it sounded good. Maybe He wanted that for somebody, so take that to heart. All right. Thought I was in a weird, strange place. Okay, so Isaiah 41:13. Now we got it. And it is, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I will help thee. To concentrate on this fear and anxiety, and it's a waste of time because it doesn't last forever. Again, half of these things are based on emotion, the anxiety, the fear. And it doesn't ever last long, and God pulls you out. And if we weren't praising when we were going down, we feel guilty, and right, we let all this shame take us over because we should have known better. Why? Because we're saved and we're, but we don't. And fear, like I said, fear will definitely wreck you. It will wreck your relationship with Christ. It will wreck you. It will make you do things that just are dumb, for lack of a better word. If you go over to Psalms 23, Psalm 23. I promise I'll go to Psalm this time and not Jeremiah or something. Psalm 23 and verse 4. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, this is a good passage, because whether it's life or death, he's there. Whether you think you can't live, whether you think you can't go on, he's there. He's there through the praises. He's there through the grumbling and complaining. Never, never once leaves. But like everything, he's just waiting for you to turn to him, to look. And I really do. I think we would get a handle on everything a little better if we thought on heaven the way we were supposed to. If we looked for that great hope, like Paul tells us to every minute, we'd be able to get a little bit of a grasp on it and go, yeah, okay. I don't need to make it a doom and gloom situation. I don't need to be, you know, out there looking for different things that the world offers, you know, no matter what it would be. Let's see. If you turn over to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. And it says, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he is that doeth, or that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Again, it's important to realize that he's not gonna fail you. He's not gonna forsake you. No matter how much it is, no matter how bad it gets. Because even if this life ends, he's with you through the next. So there's no possible way he can leave you. We are part of him. John 14. John 14. John 14 and verse 27. And it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I mean, again and again. And I'm hoping that we could see that this is where we're supposed to fix our focus on. We're supposed to put it on God. We're supposed to put it on his word. Psalm 1 and verse 2. We're told to meditate on his law, right? And we're told that if we do, we'll delight in it. We'll be happy. This is God's word. This is everything. And if we meditate on it, it's God's presence that's going to help you. You have to feel his presence. You have to know he's there. And the only way to know is to be in his word. To fix your focus on what God says and not what the world says. Not what your body says, not what your emotions say. And that's the thing, you know. If I would have listened to my body, I would have told Pastor Kenny, no, I can't do this morning. I'm not going to do it. I mean, that's nice, you know. Yeah, he was nice. He asked. He says, you know, do you feel up to it? Can you do it? And I'm like, yeah. Knowing that the only way I was going to do it was through God's strength, but, you know, he wants you to. He wants you to. That's why it's important to fix it. Fix it on your faith. Focus on your faith. That'll take the anxiety and fear away. because everybody, I was saying this Friday night, everybody in the Bible, you could see, God wants you to take big steps on faith. There's nobody in that Bible that didn't take a big step on faith. Nobody he used didn't, everybody he used took a big step. They were like, oh, like this is weird, this is strange. And they took a big step. Right? You could see it with Noah. Never seen rain, mist from the ground. Okay, I'll build it. That's a big step. Right? You know, Elijah's the perfect example of all this because you sit there and go, what was he asked to do? I mean, he sent fire down and everything like that, and then afterwards got full of anxiety and fear. But when he put his mind back on God, he started going, started looking the right way. But we used Psalm 23 there, and that's what we have to remember. Whether it's death or life, God goes through with you. He walks with you every step of the way. Even when we turn away from him, he's still walking. He's still walking with you. You're just facing the wrong way. But he's always close to you. It's just, are you close to him? The last thing I want to look at is finding freedom. How do you find freedom from this anxiety and these, you know, we're talking about looking at the scriptures, we're getting that fill in your mind. Anxiety is relieved when we humbly relocate our burdens to the God who cares for us and guards our hearts. That's what it does. He guards our hearts and he cares for us. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's anxiety. That's fear. That's depression. That's whatever mental illness or diagnosis that you see in a DSM. And I'm not saying there's not a need for medication with some people and things like that. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of it is called by fear and anxiety, especially for those that aren't saved. Because they have that fear of the unknown. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know. I mean, God's put it in their heart that he's there, but they just can't figure it out. And they have that fear and that. And so you need to protect your heart because he's going to be there. He cares for you. He's going to walk with you if you're saved. He's going to try to guard your heart. He's always going to point you in the right way. I truly believe that. I truly believe you can walk away and be that done with God, but if you're born again, that's going to eat you alive forever. It's going to, you know he's there, even if you say he's not. But you got to guard that heart because that world will show you things and you're like, oh, okay. You go, well, maybe if I try it, maybe that'll help me out. Because don't we do that? Instead of finding the freedom in Christ, we're like, oh, well, I've read, but it's not helping. Because you're full of anxiety. Full of fear. Philippians. If you go over to Philippians 4. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right? We should be comforted by that. We should have the peace. And when we don't have the peace, that's when the anxiety creeps in. And that's what we have to learn. When we do this and when we try to fix our focus and we're trying to find the freedom and we're in the Bible, it's not about just reading it and memorizing that scripture. It's about putting that scripture to practical application for yourself. It's about going, how does this fit? You could say you have a problem, and I could say, okay, well, this is what it says in the Bible. And you could sit there and think about it, meditate on it, but you can go, I don't get it. I don't know. Why don't you know? Because you're not applying it. That's what I find out. The people that say, I don't really know. I don't know. Well, what have you done this week? What have you done with that scripture? Well, what do you mean, what have I done with that scripture? You got to do something, right? That's the freedom. That's the freedom in Christ, where you do something with the scripture and it goes. We talk about, you know, as we're talking about this anxiety and fear and all these things, right? We think about casting down all imaginations. We love to quote that scripture, casting down, but we never go farther to the next verse, where it says, be ready to revenge all disobedience. So what God's telling us there is, yeah, you got to cast it down, but if you're not ready to take actions afterwards, then that did nothing for you. Either that same thought's going to come back into your head, or something different, because you're not ready to take action. That's the freedom. Find freedom in your faith. Faith is always active. It's not always easy. We always don't make the right choice with it, but it's active. And that's what gives us that freedom. We can see it. We can know it. It's attainable. Faith is the substance. It has substance. If it has substance, it has that great freedom with there. It has the possibility, if you take actions that, and that's why I say possibility, because you have to take the action, and it will solve a lot of problems. It might not be easy, but it will solve a lot of problems. And even if God doesn't take it away, you still know He's there with you. You still know He can. If you turn over to 1 Peter, just a couple more things here. 1 Peter 5. And we'll start in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. If He care, when you get anxious, when you get fearful, I mean, is that what you're doing? Are we automatically going to Him and saying, hey, this is how I feel? Because for one, if you do that right away, you're acknowledging it's a feeling. It's an emotion. So now that you're humbling yourself and acknowledging that, He can work with you better. That's what it is. When you say, hey, no, I'm feeling this way, right? Because God doesn't say you shouldn't have any emotions, but when you're saying, hey, I feel this way, this emotion is taking over, God says he's admitting it. He understands that now. Instead of going, well, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to handle this, so I'm just going to go do this now. That's your strength. That's not His. That's your strength. And you have acknowledged nothing. Nothing but I'm just going to go do this because I'm anxious. I don't know what to do, and I have to do something. Isn't that what we say? I don't know what to do. I got to do something. Why? Because it'll take my mind off it. Maybe God doesn't want your mind off it. Maybe He doesn't want your mind off it because He wants you to humble yourself, because He knows it's a big problem with you. That He knows this is something that you need to work on. And he's just looking for that acknowledgement. Psalm 56. Psalm 56 and verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Where's that freedom? It's in your faith. When I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. When I know I'm wrong, I'll trust in you. When I know something's coming, I'll trust in you. It's not always easy. And sometimes we wait so long, again, the anxiety creeps back in, and we have to, you know, do the process over again. We have to go to him humbly and say, hey, this is what's bothering me. This is what my feelings are. Too many people treat, there's that whole extreme. Too many people treat emotions as the only thing, and then there's the people that treat emotions as, well, they're horrible. And we never have that, we never truly get that balance in our lives. Hey, I need this. Why? Because, well, if I have some emotions, some compassion, and I'm looking at somebody out there that's lost, then I might go, hey, I know what God did for me. I see them struggling with what I struggle with. And you can do that. You can go out there in the world and be at the grocery store, at the gas station, and you're just looking and you're like, something gets you and you're like, that's kind of reminds me of what I used to do, or it kind of reminds me of something. And you can go, hey, I know what Jesus did for me. Right? Right? And you get that feeling, that's emotion, you get that the joy. With Karen, who came to the Lord, that was awesome. That's great joy. That's how we should do it. That's emotional. That's emotional to know that God is there and has worked in a situation, and then He allowed you to be a part of it, and you get part of that harvest. That's awesome. That their emotions aren't totally bad, but when we let them rule our whole lives, that's when it gets going. And sometimes that's hard. That's why anxiety and fear need to be dealt with. It needs to be acknowledged, because if you don't, those emotions will creep in and it'll tell you, no, this is what's going to happen. This is how you should react. And it's a lie. It's against God. If you turn over to last verse, Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Sorry, I'm a really slow on the draw with this brace on my hand. Matthew 6. Keep going by stuff. All right, Matthew 6 and verse 34. And it says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil therefore. And again, we go back to keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And these are things. You start worrying about what you're, you know, what am I supposed to eat? Where am I supposed to go to? You know, I mean, these things have it. And not that there's something wrong with worrying, you know, just going, hey, I'm worried about this and going to the Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going, hey, you know, I lost my job. I need a job. Nothing's coming. You know, I have rent or a mortgage to pay. I don't have the money. What am I going to do? Right there, that's a different story. But things like that happen, and you worry, and you go, and it causes this fear, it causes this anxiousness. And as long as we have anxiety, as long as we have this fear, we're not going to be close to God. We're not going to be doing what we should be doing. And that's why I wanted to look at this and look at it in this manner, because if you can't take Scripture and apply it or use it practically, then basically we're just... We've done what Pastor Kenny said when he says sometimes you get out of fellowship and he's got to pick you up and put you on the shelf because he's got to clean you up again. That's where we're at. But just extra, just notice that. A lot of us like to say, hey, God, I don't want to ever be put on the shelf where God doesn't use us. But did you notice Pastor Kenny never said that? You get cleaned up and he puts you back. We often have anxiety and fear of just that alone. And we shouldn't, because he puts you back. The only way you stay on that shelf is if you want to stay on that shelf, because he doesn't force you to do anything. But we often use that, and that causes anxiety, causes fear. You know, I mean, we've all heard people say that, right? I don't want God to put me on a shelf and leave me there. He's not. Not if you don't want to. He's just got to clean you up, put you back. But as we go and life hits us, I mean, we have only one place to turn to, and that's God. Right? We have to solve. Every fear, every anxiety, which is hard to do, but you have to turn to God and thank Him. You have to cast your care upon Him. Why? Because He is the one that sustains us. And He says He's gonna. He says He's never gonna leave or forsake us. He knows what we have the need of. And if we keep close to Him, what? We get the peace that passeth all understanding. So the question is, is anybody feeling like that lately? I mean, there's a lot of things going on in the world. There's a lot of things going on in people's lives. Changes. Any of these points spoke to you this morning? You know? If they did, what are you going to do? Are you know, what's one situation in your life right now that's causing you anxiety, that's causing you a little bit of fear? Because I'm sure we'll have it. If it's early in the week, right? So I'm sure by the end of the week, it'll hit us once. But the most important thing is which one of these verses do you believe the most? Which one of the verses is the hardest for you to believe? Because the one that's the hardest to believe is the one that God wants to improve in you. Saying, you don't need to worry about this. You don't need the anxiety, because I'm there with you. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to teach your word. I thank you for giving me that, Lord. We often just overlook people and their struggles, Lord, and not think about that just a little anxiety, a little fear, Lord, can just, it goes a long way. And the only way we can get some form of ease and peace is through you, Lord, and that's it. And that's all on how much we want to get close to you, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that we can get close to you. We just pray that you be with Pastor Kenny this morning in the message. And again, Lord, we give all thanks, honor, and praise to you, Lord. You are a great and good God, Lord. And we thank you so much, and we just pray that you would come back soon and get us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.